Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Yes, it is political commentary, and on the line we have Mr. David Slack. Morena.
Morena, Tuba. Morning, Millie.
Morning, David. How are you?
Never better.
Never better. And
never better.
Well, that's great to hear. Because you're obviously you're David, and we're going to be talking about David Seymour. So forget David versus Goliath. It's David versus David. You're going to be talking about the mounting arrogance of David Seymour. What can you tell us?
Yeah, well, I'm coming to the impression that he might not be the genius he's been telling us he is. And possibly he's not quite the nice guy he wants everyone to believe he is either. And a couple of pieces of evidence that we might have a look at to remind ourselves of this. One is a email exchange between one Lydia Cole, who wrote to him, "Hello, David, I'm writing to inform you that I have submitted an opposition to the regulatory standards bill. I wanted to let you know directly that I am in fact human and live in Epsom. I am not a bot. Regards, Lydia Cole." Seymour writes back, "Indeed, but did you have an intelligent and informed reason for your opposition that differentiates you from a bot?"
Yeah. Wow.
And as if that's not insulting enough, you may have also seen some of the social media posts he's been, the ACT Party have been spraying onto the internet with the headline, "Regulatory Standards Derangement." God, you might notice I haven't been awake very long. Engagement syndrome. And underneath, victim of the day, and then a headshot of somebody who will be an academic who has taken a regulatory standards bill for the very good reason that this regulatory standards bill is the most odious thing that's ever been put into our parliament.
Yeah. And, so what's the gist of it, the regulatory standards bill? Like, is it a power grab from David Seymour in that sense?
Yeah, it is kind of a power grab because what it's essentially saying is we don't trust you politicians to do what we think is right for the country, which by ACT standards, of course, is neoliberal dogma. And so they are proposing that sitting behind everything that goes into Parliament will be one minister in charge of looking at all the proposed legislation that comes to it, and a board that looks at it and has the power to compel people to give it all the information it wants to decide whether this bill measures up or not. And by measures up, they mean, does it meet the aforementioned ACT dogma, you know, which of course is not the way they put it in the bill. They say that it should be that it should protect property and expresses a few benign phrases of that sort that, you know, people might at first blush shrug and say, well, who doesn't think we should protect property? But as soon as you dig at all into their criteria, you realise that they're saying we want the neoliberal paradise that we've been believing in 40 years despite all the evidence to the contrary, and we want to find ways to make it more possible to entrench the interests of us, essentially corporate freewheeling.
It doesn't sound very, very democratic.
I'm sorry?
Doesn't sound very democratic.
It doesn't sound very democratic, does it, Tuva?
No.
And that is the vaulting irony of all of this, that, you know, they will present themselves as the champions of free speech and democracy and free property, but in fact what they want to do is be surprisingly, alarmingly prescriptive about what we can and cannot do. And they want, essentially, by doing this, to deprive people of rights that have been acquired over the last few decades as we steadily advance towards a kind of better world, and each time we do, some selfish prick comes along and says, "I don't like the look of that, let's take that back off them." And so the fight is eternal and difficult. And, you know, if we look at those pieces of social media we opened with, what it tells you is that this guy, for all that he espouses to be a friend of the people, he's really and a champion of free speech. You know, he's saying is that he loves the marketplace of ideas, and he's all in favour of that. But as soon as people turn up to do business in the marketplace of ideas and he doesn't like the look of what they're selling, it just turns to insults.
Yeah.
And the insults in his world are that if you can't grasp that he and his friends are absolutely completely right about everything, you must obviously be a moron. And it's a continuing theme of his, and it's growing in noise as he becomes more established in his authority, notwithstanding that fewer than 1 in 10 of us voted for this prick.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, David. Is he shooting himself in the foot here? Because, you know, anyone of good, reasonable intelligence that you talk to is like, what an idiot.
Yeah. I'm hoping that that's what we're going to see at the next election. Yeah, because when you look at the numbers that delivered the victory, such as it was, they only got over the line by assembling the votes of National, ACT, and New Zealand First, and that's the high point. That's the point at which this government nation had been persuaded. Falsely, I would suggest, that the government that had saved them from COVID was a terrible thing that needed to be thrown out with the greatest force. So you had a lot of momentum against that government voting, and that even with all of that emotion, they could only get enough seats in Parliament by cobbling together both New Zealand First and ACT, and on terms that master negotiator Chris Luxon acceded to with them by bending over so far backwards you could make a circle of him.
Yeah.
And,
So
that's a very long way of saying, do you reckon people will vote for all of that again in those numbers? And the question, the answer would be, I doubt it. Now, sure, you've still got an awful lot of people who drive their Ford Rangers and think that we ought to have no control on speed limits, and we shouldn't be doing anything about the climate crisis until everybody else has done it, and then we'll come along.
Yeah.
All of those kinds of attitudes mean that they'll happily vote for the National Party, if not the ACT Party, and they'll sort of hold their nose about at what they're seeing with Seymour. But you've still got that chunk in the middle that looks alarmed at what he's doing. And as he grows in his arrogance week by week, you know, I think that alienation must grow too. And so, a very long way of answering your question. Yeah, I don't think that has got to translate into a weaker outcome at the next election. Predicting in politics can always set you up to make a fool of yourself.
Yeah.
But that feels like the trend to me at this point.
Because I think the way he escalates, you know, anyone who disagrees with him is so, you know, kind of childish, and it really, it's not a good look in kind
it's
of air
quotes. It's surprising, isn't it? You know, for somebody who... on the one hand, he is a much more skillful politician than either Luxon or Peters. He doesn't lose his cool when he's in front of the camera, and he can kind of present this attitude of capable superiority. I think it's more in these social media exchanges that you see the nature of the guy revealed a little more clearly, that he's actually one of those, that kind of person who is sneering and full of himself and has an attitude to people that is low in empathy. And I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise, really, when you see the policy, party he's gravitated to. There's a long history of such people being attracted to the philosophy of the ACT Party.
Yeah, what sort of do you think his motive is behind all this? I don't know, because does he have sort of personal assets and businesses and property and things like that? Or is he, I don't think he does he? Like, why would he be doing this?
Yeah. I don't see it as as any kind of rotten boroughs, corrupt self-dealing going on here. What you've got is a phenomenon that has been at large since the start of the, essentially for us, began with Rogernomics, the neoliberal revolution. And you have a kind of person who likes the idea that you don't have to care about other people, that actually the market is going to deliver for all of us. So I can still think I'm a good person, even though I don't care about anybody else. And so that's a sort of a, in a way, it kind of tells you that people do have a conscience, but they find it inconvenient. And it feels, a person like him, it feels to me, has embraced this. And furthermore, his career trajectory has essentially been somebody who's paid to do the thinking for other people. First he does it as a consultant, and then he's doing it again as a politician, in the sense that he's saying, "Oh, I'm smarter than all of you guys. You just leave it to me," and patting us on the head, and I'll sort out this stupid parliament that's stopping you from making money. So, his friends are people of money and wealth and power.
Is that the Atlas Group? I guess that documentary came out about him.
That's right. I mean that absolutely plays a part in it. Although I do get a little uneasy with the way some people see it as a dots joined conspiracy. I mean, it is absolutely true that vested interests are using the Atlas entity to direct policy across the world in a way that they desire, which is essentially to deny the climate crisis or drag heels on it. And to embrace aspects of white supremacy, essentially. This kind of notion that we... I'm going off on a tangent there. But it'll take a long time. The self-dealing, the heel dragging on what needs to be done is the essence of it. And he has been a beneficiary of their support and policies, and he is at home in that world, and he feels he's among friends there. Everybody wants to feel they've got friends.
I guess so, even David Seymour.
Hey David, thank you so much. I could go on about this all day, to be honest.
You need to have a political podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for your insightful chat. Let's sit back and potentially watch a demise.
Terrific.
Awesome. Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. Have a great day.
Cheers, Steve.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.